Rob Congdon, director of CMI-TV. I'll be your teacher in our five-part series entitled The Mysterious 75-Day Gap of Daniel 12. As I began to research this series, I sought to better understand the 75 days that Scripture indicate between the second coming of the Lord and the start of the thousand-year millennium. I was surprised at how little material I found on this in the typical Bible commentaries. Often it was passed over or just ignored. And yet, when I taught this to an adult Bible study, the students showed real interest in something that they had never heard before. I immediately realized that it was important to understand Daniel's prophecy back in chapter 9. That's the 70 weeks of God's plan for the latter days of Israel, before anyone is ready to interpret the Daniel 12 mystery. As I reviewed that material, like you, I assumed I knew the 70 weeks prophecy of Daniel 9 thoroughly. It would be just a matter of touching upon it in this series. Much to my surprise and excitement, I found so much that I had missed in my previous study of the 70 weeks of Daniel. I had not realized that this prophecy was and is the most significant prophecy in the Old Testament when studied in depth. Further, it is only one of two times in the Bible that God, through angels, gives a prophecy to a prophet face to face. And therefore, God emphasizes the importance of the prophecies. Additionally, there's so much more to it than covered in the typical Bible commentary. When we connect the dots of Scripture, previously I had taught the 70 weeks of Daniel in a video, perhaps you've seen it. But I realize that we not only must review that teaching, for it's foundational to solving the mystery of Daniel chapter 12, verses 11 and 12, but I now must include all that I have since learned from that day. Therefore, in our series, we will do an in-depth study of Daniel's 70 weeks in preparation for our study of Daniel's 12 mystery. I'm very anxious and excited to share all that I have gathered by connecting the dots of these two prophecies, and yes, they are truly, I can say it with confidence, the most significant prophecy of the Old Testament and God's plan and purpose for history. I hope you too will catch the excitement as we see how grand, how marvelous, how precise our Lord is with these two prophecies. Please join me now as we begin this exciting study. In teaching God's prophetic plan for history, I find that I must walk a tightrope between God's very complex plan for the latter days while trying to keep the material simple and easy to understand without neglecting God's important truths and teaching in them. A good example of this is a study on the most significant Old Testament prophecy that is found in Daniel chapter 9 and in Daniel chapter 12. In Daniel 12, verses 11 and 12, we find a mystery within the otherwise well-known prophecy of the 70 weeks of Daniel. There in Daniel 12, verse 11, we read, "And from the time that the daily sacrifice shall be taken away, and the abomination that maketh desolate set up, there shall be 1,290 days. Blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1,305 days." That's 1,335 days. From Daniel 9's 70-week prophecy, we learn that the 70th week is the seven-year tribulation of the latter times of Israel. We then learn that the millennium will begin with the return of the Lord Jesus Christ to establish his millennial kingdom. We read this in Daniel chapter 2, verse 44, and Daniel chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Now, at first glance, our two verses in Daniel 12 present two mysteries and isolated events separate from the rest of Daniel's teaching about Antichrist ending the daily sacrifice and the 1,260 days until the end of the tribulation. Now, I always taught that the millennium begins immediately after Christ's coming. But if I subtract the 1,260 days of the second half of the tribulation from the 1,335 days of Daniel 12:12, I find an apparent 75-day gap between the end of the tribulation and the start of the millennium. What could be God's purpose for these 75 days? Typically, Bible commentaries either skip over them or merely acknowledge them as a mystery. Oh, they don't use the word mystery, but that's what they mean. But when carefully studied, I have found that they significantly add understanding to God's plan and purpose for history. Now, I'd like to solve this mystery, but first, we need to lay a necessary foundation to understand them by reviewing the purpose of Daniel's 70-week prophecy. For we will find this understanding will add significantly to what God is revealing to us in this most magnificent prophecy. In verse 24 of Daniel 9, we learn that the angel Gabriel delivered this prophecy directly to Daniel after Daniel had prayed for his people during Israel's 70-year Babylonian captivity. Now, some Bible interpreters believe Daniel was praying for the church, for they hold that the church existed in the Old Testament. But never forget that the church began at Pentecost, as recorded in Acts 2, and it was a mystery hidden until the New Testament, as Paul tells us in Ephesians 5:32, where he writes, "This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church." Now in verse 24 of Daniel 9, we will read of the 70 weeks prophecy. Now reading Daniel 9, verse 24. 70 weeks are determined upon thy people and upon thy holy city. We've got to stop here. Here God sent Gabriel to deliver face-to-face a specific prophecy about the Jewish people, that's Daniel's people, and the holy city of Jerusalem. Most prophets were given a vision or words to record by God the Holy Spirit. But only two prophets in our Bible, Daniel and the Apostle John, heard God's word with their ears, given directly, and then they recorded them. Considering this fact alone sets these prophecies apart and notes their significance about God's plan for history. Now in verse 9, God will now proceed to list six divine goals to be accomplished by the end of the 70 weeks. Number one, it will be to finish the transgression, or literally the rebellion, to finish the rebellion. This rebellion, in the singular, was the nation's root sin that prompted all of Israel's other national sins. Gabriel is saying that this ongoing rebellion will not end until the 70 weeks will be completed by the repentance and cry for deliverance to God by Israel, which will initiate the second coming of the Lord. References are Zechariah 12:10 through 13 and Romans 11:25 to 27. Our second divine purpose of the 70 weeks is to make an end of sins. These sins are actual sins of daily life in individual lives that will only end after the millennium. But during the millennium, they will be restrained. Our fourth reason, to bring in everlasting righteousness and to seal up or complete the vision and prophecy and to anoint, that means to consecrate, the most holy. The most holy is a clear reference to the holy place of the temple. When finished, Israel will be restored to full fellowship with God in the millennial kingdom, ruled righteously by the Lord Jesus Christ, and he will be worshiped in the millennial temple. Let us begin our study by first answering the question, what does the term weeks really mean in 70 weeks? In Daniel's original language, the term is 70 units of seven rather than 70 weeks. Therefore, the question becomes, what is this unit of seven? Is it hours, days, weeks, or years? Recall, one of the most basic rules for interpretation of Scripture is to understand how the first readers of the passage, or first hearers from Daniel, would have understood it. We cannot superimpose our culture and its current words to that original meaning. Recognize this rule. The first readers of this prophecy of Daniel would have read 70 units of sevens and found this phrase was extremely relevant to them. For at that time, they were living in Babylon during the 70-year captivity. As we'll see shortly, the sevens is Daniel's prophetic term for years. To understand this, as those first readers would have understood it, we're going to connect several dots of Scripture and Israel's history. In fact, this lesson, I think, is one of the best examples of connecting the dots of Scripture that I have found. In connecting the dots, we are merely following Paul's instructions given in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and the latter part of verse 13, where we are told to compare spiritual things with spiritual. That is, compare Scripture with Scripture. Doing just this, we find a similar or comparative chronology of Daniel's prophecy of the future 70 weeks to Israel's 70-year Babylonian captivity. We will see that both span a period of 490 years, and both fulfill God's punishment for Israel's national sins of rebellion and her neglect of God's word. The Babylonian captivity began in 586 BC with the destruction of Solomon's temple and its sacrifices, and ended with the rededication of the restored second temple in 516 BC. As we will see shortly, Daniel's 77s, or 7 times 70 times 7 years, 490 years, began with King Artaxerxes' decree of 445 BC, and it's going to end with the second coming of the Lord to rule in his millennial kingdom. But going 490 years after the decree does not bring us to the millennial kingdom, because we aren't in it yet. We can easily explain this time problem when we recognize that the church age, that's a mystery hidden to Old Testament people, including Daniel, divided the 490 years into two periods, with the length of the church age not specified in between. Now, recognizing the similarity of 490 years of Daniel and the Babylonian captivity, we need to briefly study the purpose of the first 77 cycle in order to get insight into this second cycle of Daniel. We'll begin by connecting by going to 2 Chronicles chapter 36 and verse 21, where we read that God's purpose for the Babylonian captivity was to fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah until the land had enjoyed her Sabbaths. For as long as she lay desolate, she kept Sabbath, to fulfill 70 years. That's 70 years. Repeated in Jeremiah 25, verses 8 and 11, God declares that he would punish the nation of Israel for 70 years because of her neglect of the law concerning the observance of the land Sabbath. For we read, "Therefore, thus saith the Lord of hosts, because ye have not heard my words, and this whole land shall be a desolation and astonishment, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years." The words "not heard" refer to the law of Leviticus 25, verses 2 to 4, that required the observance of a land Sabbath year during each 7-year planting harvest cycle. For we read in Leviticus, "Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, when ye come into the land, which I give you, Then shall the land keep a Sabbath unto the Lord. 6 years thou shalt sow thy field, and 6 years thou shalt prune thy vineyard and gather in the fruit thereof. But in the 7th year shall be a Sabbath of rest unto the land, a Sabbath for the Lord. Thou shalt neither sow thy field nor prune thy vineyard. For 6 years, Israelis farmers were to raise and harvest crops. But when the 7th year came, they were to give the land a Sabbath of rest. To do this, farmers had to trust the Lord's word to provide sufficient harvest in the 6th year to carry over the 7th. Thus we read in verses 20 to 22, "And ye, if ye shall say, what shall we eat the 7th year? Behold, we shall not sow nor gather in our increase. Then I," that's God, "will command my blessings upon you in the 6th year, and it shall bring forth fruit for 3 years. And you shall sow the 8th year, and eat yet of old fruit until the 9th year, that's the harvest. Until her fruits come in, you shall eat of the old store." Thus they were to store the promised excess in the 6th year to feed them during the 7th year, the land Sabbath, and it would cover them until the next harvest. For those hearing Moses giving the law, they would have known of a precedence of laying up for the coming time. For Joseph, way back in Egypt, when faced 7 years of famine after God provided 7 years of plenty in Genesis 41. For Israel to neglect a land Sabbath was seen by God as rebellion against him, against his law, and against his promise to provide. Foreseeing people's tendencies to disobey, God gave them a solemn warning in the very next chapter of Leviticus, chapter 26, verses 34, 35, and 43. "Then shall the land enjoy her Sabbaths, as long as it lieth desolate, and ye be in your enemy's land, even then shall the land rest and enjoy her Sabbaths. The land also shall be left of them, and shall enjoy her Sabbaths, while she lieth, when ye dwelt upon it. The land also shall be left of them, and shall enjoy her Sabbaths, while she lieth desolate without them," without Israel. "And they shall accept of the punishment of their iniquity, because they despised my judgments, and because of their soul abhorreth my statutes." Notice, they despised his judgments, or his teaching, or his provision, and they neglected his word. Thus, the 70 years of the Babylonian captivity was God's punishment for this iniquity and rebellion against the land and God's law. The 70 years of neglected Sabbaths, if we multiply them by 7 years per cycle, indicates that Israel had disregarded God's law of land Sabbaths over 490 years prior to the 70 years punishment. I need to add that in 2 Chronicles chapter 36, God gives two additional reasons for the 70-year captivities. So besides the land Sabbath, they are that King Zedekiah's refusal or rebellion against God's word, related by the prophet Jeremiah in verses 12 and 13. And secondly, the priests and the people's adoption of heathen customs and polluting the temple while scoffing at the prophet's warnings from God. Verses 14 to 16. After all this, we finally see that God must act. So we read in verse 16, "But they mocked the messengers of God and despised his words and misused his prophets until," notice carefully, "the wrath of the Lord arose against his people till there was no remedy." No remedy. And they went into captivity for 70 years. Now, I've been asked, when did the 490 years of neglect of the land Sabbath begin? Was it a continuous 490 years of disobedience, or was it merely a cumulative 490 years of neglect interrupted by some years of obedience? In answering these questions, we find there are two possible answers. We know that the Babylonian captivity began in 586 BC, when God had reached the point of no remedy. At this point, the temple was destroyed and sacrifices ended in Jerusalem. The 70 years ended in 516 BC, when resumed sacrifices at the restored temple in Jerusalem. In that year, Nebuchadnezzar destroyed the temple and the altar, and with it, the ability for the nation to sacrifice to the Lord. That was in 586. If we assume that 586 marked the end of 490 continuous years of neglect, we find it would have begun at 1076 BC, for the captivity wasn't part of those 490 years. This brings us to the time of Ibzan and Elon, the period of the judges of Israel, Judges 12, of which we know very little other than it was a repeated cycle seen through the times of the judges that included times of obedience and disobedience. The second answer is to assume that the 490 years was not continuous, but rather periods of neglect, followed by periods of obedience, periods of neglect, etc. The suggestion of gaps of time is reasonable for our comparative chronology with Daniel's 77s, for it also has an extensive gap of the church age. We also know that during the period of Judges, there were five cyclic times of disobedience to the Lord and rebellion to his law. Thus, there could have been, during those five cycles, periods of obedience, periods of disobedience. And those disobediences, when you put them all together, came up to the 490 years. If we accept periods of obedience within the 490 years of neglect, creating gaps in the 490 years, we cannot determine the first time the land Sabbath was neglected. But we do know that it could only occur after the giving of the law of the Sabbath, which would have been in 1398 BC, thus giving us a maximum period of about 800 years in which those 490 years of neglect could have occurred. So about 300 years of obedience. Now, returning to Daniel 9:24, we find that the second 77 cycles of the nation's rebellion against God's word began less than 100 years after the previous captivity. Artaxerxes' decree of 445 BC, after, remember, the first cycle ended in 516 BC. Apparently, Israel did not learn the lesson of the Babylonian captivity, and God began a new cycle to finish the transgression, the rebellion, and to bring reconciliation for iniquity and to bring in righteousness. With the completion of another 490 years of dealing with rebellion, the vision and prophecy would be complete by the seven-year tribulation to bring the nation of Israel back to God, and significantly, to cause them to cry out to the Lord Jesus Christ to deliver them from their iniquity and to bring in his kingdom. In doing this, the times of everlasting righteousness will be initiated with the start of the millennium. Truly, in these two cycles, dealing with rebellion of Israel, we see the greatness of our Lord's grace and mercy as he forgave Israel again and again over each of those 200 to 490 years. This was put into word by our Lord Jesus Christ when he answered Peter in Matthew 18, verses 21 and 22, when Peter asked, "Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times?" Peter probably thought he was generous. Jesus saith unto him, "I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times seven." Does that sound familiar? 70 times seven is 490. The Lord is gracious in his forgiveness. Now please join us again as we continue connecting the dots of Scripture to better understand God's plan and purpose of history. as we start our review and our study of the 70 weeks prophecy of Daniel 7 that will then lead us to the solution of the mystery of Daniel chapter 12, verses 11 and 12. Now, until I see you again, either here or in the air, may the Lord bless you mightily. Mm-hmm.